All right, Nehemiah chapter 2. So, if you're new, we've been going through the book of Nehemiah, studying the book of Nehemiah, and the book of Nehemiah is about the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the temple and the wall, with the 12 gates into the city through the wall. The Israelites, the Jewish people, had been in captivity for 70 years, finally were allowed to come back and rebuild. But the walls were all broken down, and the gates were all burned. This is an artist's rendition from about 200 years ago. He's painting the walls of Nehemiah. So you see they're trying to rebuild the walls, all the people, and rebuild the gates to the wall. And so Nehemiah feels led to lead the charge to rebuild the wall that goes around Jerusalem, which is over there today if you were traveling there, and to rebuild the gates. And we talked about how in chapter 3 there seems to be symbolism that the wall represents our spiritual walk with the Lord, and the gates represent spiritually significant events that occur. And they're right in order. So gate 1 is the gate of our salvation. It's a sheep gate where we follow Jesus as the Lamb of God. Gate 2 is the soul winning gate. Gate 3 is the go to church gate. Gate 4 is the die to self gate. Gate, what went out? 3, 4, 5 is the garbage gate. That's the gate of holiness, the gate of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the gate of the Word of God, the gate of spiritual warfare, the gate of the east gate, which is the gate of second coming, and then the inspection gate, and then the last two gates we covered last week is the gate of hell and the gate of heaven. So now we're, and when a church is being revived, is renewing its commitment and belief in those foundational truths that I just went over. And a church doesn't experience revival unless each individual Christian is experiencing revival in their life, where they're going, you know what, I need to rebuild in my spiritual life that Jesus is the only way. I need to be sharing my faith. I need to be going to church. I need to be dying to self. I need to be, you know, becoming holy and more Christ-like. I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. I need to be in the Word of God. I need to be doing spiritual warfare, and I need to have my hope in the coming of Jesus Christ renewed and restored. So as each of us has spiritual renewal, the church as a whole becomes revived. Now, so we got to get back to the book of Nehemiah. When Nehemiah and the Jewish people decide to rebuild the walls, the enemy gets upset and gets very mad. The enemy does not want the walls to be rebuilt and the gates rebuilt. And in a similar fashion, when a church decides it's going to have revival, Satan gets upset and says, oh no, I don't want revival. I don't want revival for the church as a whole, and I don't want revival for Christians as individuals. And so Nehemiah is going to deal with 4 attacks upon the rebuilding of the wall. And I believe they're written down, not just so we know a history lesson from 2,500 years ago, but because those 4 ways that Nehemiah gets attacked are the 4 ways that Satan will attack a church and will attack you. Okay? And I've decided to call these 4 ways that the enemy attacks Plan A, B, C, and D. Real original, okay? All right. So Nehemiah chapter 2. Spiritual attack plan A that Satan has. So Nehemiah chapter 2, in review, verse 17. Then I said to them, Nehemiah said to the people, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and all its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. Let's have revival. Let's build the walls and the gates. So they began the good work. Verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite, I call him the Hornet, because he likes a sting. Okay? Sanballat the stinger. And Tobiah the Ammonite. I call him the termite, because termites like to eat away at the foundation secretively until the whole house collapses. So, and the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab. The Arabs hated the Jews back then, and 2,500 years later, they still hate the Jews. When they heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. "What is this you are doing?" they ask. "Are you rebelling against the king?" Come to chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 3 was the gates. Chapter 4, verse 1. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. Just as Satan, when you're experiencing spiritual revival, Satan gets angry and incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Feeble in the Hebrew is mindless, weak, idiotic. So Sanballat is like, what are these stupid, mindless Jews doing? Do they think they can rebuild the wall? This is so, he's ridiculing and mocking. Oh, you guys can't do it. You don't know what you're doing. Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Some theologian says he's actually mocking Jesus, because they didn't have the temple to offer sacrifices, and the sacrifices are all pictures of Jesus. And so Sanballat is, in a sense, mocking the sacrifice of Christ on the cross for us. Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from these heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Can they really be revival? Of course not. Tobiah the termite. Tobiah the Ammonite. I don't know what it is about negative people. Hornets and termites attract to each other. We like each other. Negative people are like, they suck together. Okay? Watch out for negative people in your life, okay? As opposed to the positive people that believe God can do great things. Okay. So Tobiah the Ammonite, the termite who was at his side, said, "What are they building? If even a fox climbed up on it, he would break down their wall of stones." And everyone's laughing. "Look at these crazy Israelites. Oh, you know, what are they doing?" Now, believe it or not, ridicule and mockery, making fun, stops about 95% of Christians from moving forward in their Christian walk. In fact, I think Hollywood has been mocking and ridiculing Christianity for about 30 years. It's the only group that they mock. Any other group that they would mock, they'd get in trouble. But Christians, go ahead and mock them and ridicule them and get them into the closet, those Christians, where they belong. So I saw this study that, you know, people will ask Jesus into their heart, but you don't know if the faith is really rooted in their life or if it's just a superficial. And supposedly some theologians have studied this, that it depends on what happens at the first ridicule and mocking in their life. So someone will have prayed in church and said, "Jesus, I want to follow you." And then they go home and they tell their parents, or they tell their kids, or they tell their neighbors, or they tell their coworkers, or they tell the students at school, and they say, "Hey, you know, I think I'm going to follow Jesus." "You're kidding! Oh, no! You aren't one of those Jesus freaks! Oh, come on! Let's party! You'll forget about this! A good drink will, you'll get over that!" And if the person goes, you're right! Oh, yeah! It doesn't take. They don't follow the Lord. And then about 50% of the people, they come home and say, "Hey, Mom, Dad, I've become a Christian," or to their coworkers, "Yeah, I've decided to follow Jesus." "You're kidding! Oh man! Oh, you're not going to be a holy roller! Oh, you found religion!" You know. "Yeah, I've made a commitment. I'm going to follow Jesus. I know, make fun and all, but I'm going to follow Jesus." Those are the ones that move forward and grow. It is so weird. But just so you know, about 95% of Christians will stop growing because someone will make fun of them. You'll say, "Hey, I believe Jesus is the only way." "Oh, come on, you can't be serious. There's many ways to heaven." And then you, You might say, I'm going to start witnessing. Oh, don't, you can't talk about Jesus. You're going to get in trouble. It's against the law. You'll be fired. Oh, okay, I won't. I've decided to start going to church. Oh, you can't go to church every Sunday. And so on, okay? Mockery and ridicule does in about 95% of Christians. And they quit growing right then and there. Here's what Nehemiah says. Verse 4, hear us, O our God. For we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight. For they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. And so they're insulting you and they're insulting the name of Christ. Pray for them. So if plan A doesn't work, and Nehemiah says, hey, you know what? God, you take care of them. We're going to continue building the wall. We're going to continue going forward. If plan A doesn't work, then he goes to plan B, which is what I call the direct attack. Satan is like a lion looking for who he can devour. So this is the direct attack plan. So verse 6. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached, how high is the wall now? Half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat the hornet, and Tobiah the termite, and the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone on ahead, and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. Now, usually when you're going to attack, the city is rebuilding the walls, but there are gaps in the walls as they're being rebuilt. Those are the weak areas, the areas they haven't completely built yet. And so, in verse 9, Nehemiah goes, but we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet the threat. And we believe he posted the guard at the gaps. Because look down in verse 13. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the, what parts? The lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. So Nehemiah knows the enemy is planning a direct attack. Satan will plan a direct attack, but Satan looks for the weak spots, the gaps in your spiritual wall. And that's where he's going to attack. And that's where, as believers, you need to position weapons, swords, spears, and bows, which I view as the word of God. So you have to know where your weak spots are. So, for instance, if you know that going to church is a weak spot, that Satan is constantly bringing defeat in that area, he tells you, it's snowing outside, don't go to church, and so you don't go to church. Hey, you're sleepy, don't go to church. Come here and sleep like the rest of the people do. No, don't go to church, you were out Saturday night till 3 in the morning. And if you know that's a weak area in your life that Satan likes to attack, then you need to start arming yourself. So Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us meet and all the more as we see the day of the Lord coming. So you have to memorize that scripture. So when the alarm goes off Sunday morning and Satan says, da, 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 you can go, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us, and off you go. And you can memorize the Lord, remember that Sabbath and keep it holy. 6 days the Lord worked, and on the seventh day the Lord said, you know what? I'm God, and it's time to take a break and have fellowship with the people of God. And you know what? I'm going to set this up as a universal principle that not only do I follow, but it will be followed for all eternity. 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. But man goes, well, I'm going to work 7 days and do what I want. I'm better than God. So memorize those wherever you're weak. If you're weak in the holiness section of the wall, and you know you have a problem with anger, and Satan likes to attack you and get you angry, and if he can get in, he'll do havoc with your spiritual life. And so you need to memorize scripture about anger, or maybe it's lust. And so you need to memorize, like Proverbs 5 is good, like, I'm only going to have eyes for my spouse. And I am not going to look at another woman. I'm not going to look at pornography. I am going to rejoice in, and you can read the rest. It's for husbands to study, okay, in Proverbs chapter 5. We have a mixed audience of young kids, so I can't tell you the rest of Proverbs 5, but you should memorize it if you know that Satan, that's a weak area in your life, and Satan will attack there. Plan C. So Satan first uses mockery, ridicule. Then he may have a direct attack upon your finances, your health, your life, your weak areas. Plan C is, I call, the terrorist attack. So that's in verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11. It's plan C. Also, our enemy said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them, and we will kill them and put an end to the work. So what we'll do is, let's pretend we want to work on the wall too. And so we'll pretend we're working on the wall. We'll get right there among them. And then when they're troweling on a piece of stone, we'll take our knives and, ah! Okay. Yeah, you got it. So that's the terrorist attack. So you understand, not all terrorist attacks are this way, but many are, where a terrorist will pretend they're just a normal individual. That's your friend. That's just traveling along with you. Like, they may get on planes, and they look like they're just a normal human individual that cares about people, but they're actually terrorists that are going to use themselves to destroy people. Or there are terrorists who will walk the streets in Israel and find a school bus or a very populated area, and they will destroy themselves and as many other people as they can. I guess you choose what God you want to follow in your life, but so they're going to be terrorists. They're going to sneak in among the Israelites, and then they're going to kill them. The same truth is spoken about in the New Testament. So in the book of Acts, chapter 20, this is the Apostle Paul, and he's talking to the Ephesian elders, and he says this to the elders of the church: keep a careful watch over yourselves and over the church. The Holy Spirit has made you its leaders. Feed and care for the church of God. He bought it with his own blood. Yes, I know that when I am gone, hungry wolves will come in among you. They will try to destroy the church. Also, men from your own group will begin to teach things that are not true. They will get men to follow them. I say again, keep watching. Remember that for 3 years I taught every one of you night and day, even with tears. 2 Peter. But there were false teachers among the people in the past, and there will be false teachers among you also. These people will work in secret ways to bring false teaching to you. They will turn against Christ, who bought them with his blood. They bring fast death on themselves. Many people will follow their wrong ways. Because of what they do, people will speak bad things against the way of truth. They will tell lies and false stories so they can use you to get things for themselves. But God judged them long ago, and their death is on the way. In Jude says there will be these false men who will fellowship with you. And these are men who do not have the Spirit of God, and they come to divide you. The darkest hell is waiting for them. They're in the church, And their mission is to destroy. They're terrorists. They want to divide the church and break it out. And for whatever reason, it is on the rise in the United States. That churches are blowing apart and being divided. And you can always tell a terrorist Christian, because if you ever get with a Christian who, a terrorist, I don't know, I don't want to call him a Christian. They'll always be like, yeah, some people at church are spiritual and some aren't. And, you know, we need to divide. There's, you know, some people have it right and they want to stir up trouble. And yeah, the church will explode. There'll be this division. The person that did it themselves usually will leave the church, but they have an inner joy. Yes, I have blown that church apart. I can't wait to go on to the next church. Where am I going next? To do it all over again. And churches that explode like that, very rarely, it takes them a very long time before they can ever rebuild again. And it's just a shame what happens. Now, I don't know of any suicide bomber in our midst, okay? I want you to know that. Now, I don't know if it's because we have really good godly elders and we've got so many pastors. I was thinking, well, there's four good pastors in the church. So I'm thinking, it might be a little bit tough, but I don't know. We shouldn't let our guards down. So that is plan three. Plan four is from worldly Christians, believe it or not. This is kind of sad. Verse 12. Then the Jews, so these are supposed to be the good guys, the Jews. Then the Jews who lived near them. They lived near the enemy, okay? Then the Jews who lived near the enemy came to Jerusalem and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. So I want you to understand, the good faithful Jews were living in Jerusalem and helping to rebuild the wall, helping to rebuild the temple. That's where the faithful all-out believing Jew was supposed to be. But there were Jews who were living near the enemy. They should have been in Jerusalem, but they're living near the enemy. And so we call these the worldly believers, the worldly Christians, the carnal Christians. They live between two worlds. They're not all out for God. You know, that's a little bit too radical. But I'm not totally a heathen. I live in between. The only problem with that is they get infected with fear from the enemy. And they take the fear back to the church, back to Jerusalem. And they go, oh man, you got to quit building. If we don't keep building, I've been hanging out with them. They're going to destroy us. They're going to ruin us. They're going to kill us. In fact, let me tell you, how many times? 10 times. Every time they go back, oh man, they get scared. The enemy would say, yeah, we're going to do you in. We're going to kill all those people. We're going to get that city. And they run back. You better stop building. You better stop. Don't go forward. And they infect with fear all the believers. So here's what the answer is to that. Verse 14. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be what? Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Okay? Satan may attack you. Other Christians may try to put fear into you. Remember the Lord. He's great and awesome. He's powerful. Okay? And he says, I like this. Who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. All right, I got to close with this. Listen, I'm praying for a revival. I'm praying for a revival as a church as a whole. I'm praying for a revival in your home. And Nehemiah is like, we're going to fight for our sons and daughters. Are you fighting for your kids to know Jesus? You know, every day for 30-some years, my wife and I pray every night for all of our kids. And we know what they're going through. So we're praying specifically for what issue is going on. We're fighting for our kids. We want our kids in heaven. We want them to be successful. Are you fighting for your kids? We're fighting for our parents. We're fighting for our, the last one there is fighting for your home And my wife and I actually have two homes. I don't know if you know that or not. We have one home in Mars, Adams Township, and we have one home right here. This is God's home. But he said, hey, Joe, you can be part of my home. I'm fighting for the church. I'm fighting for God's home. Are you fighting for your home? Are you fighting for your families? He has wives in there. Are you fighting for your marriage? Are you fighting for your marriage and your spouse? You know, don't give in to the enemy. God is mighty and powerful. So we're going to sing a song, and I do want to open up the altars. And here's my altar call. And I change it at every service, so it's going to be different this service too. And here's what my altar call is. Do you feel like you're under spiritual attack? Do you know you have some weak areas in your life that Satan is attacking? You know, some area of temptation or something. You know the enemy's attacking. And I just want you to come. This is going to be between you and God. And just give it to the Lord and say, Lord, I need help. I need you to help me defend this weak area in my spiritual walk. I need to be stronger in this area for you. So I want you to come and give it to the Lord. So let's stand. And if you know, if the Lord's speaking to you and you have some area that you need prayer for, I want you to come as we sing this, okay?